Welcome in to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks extend their point streak to 6 games and improve to 5-0-1 over that stretch after beating the Calgary Flames 5-2 behind a Connor Bedard hat trick. I'm going to bring in Steve Conrad. We're only going up to 11 o'clock today, so we got another tight postgame show. But it was the Connor Bedard show yet again, just like it was in Calgary about a week and a half ago, where he has 4 points with a goal and 3 primary assists. Spencer Knight obviously got the shutout, so he was a crucial part of that win, too. But Bedard, man, it seems like he likes playing the Flames this year.
Yeah, it does. And I go back to this third period, and, you know, all of a sudden Anderson scores in the power play. It's 3-2, and you wonder, uh-oh, this could go either way. And, of course, Connor Bedard with the game on his stick, that shot. I mean, and listen, it was a fantastic play by Burakovsky and Ryan Green. Green spots him. I don't know how he threaded the needle on that pass, but puts it right into his wheelhouse. And I don't think there's a better shooter in the NHL. When you see that puck come off a stick, I looked at you, and you looked at me when he scored that goal.
We made eye contact, like,
and
holy
it's like, it was like a slingshot, harder than a slingshot. It was just absolutely exploded off his stick, and there wasn't a lot of room up there. I watched the replay from in behind Dustin Wolf. There was maybe 2 inches above his shoulder. He found it, and that was a huge goal. That makes it 4-2, and of course 5-2 your final.
Steve, what was crazy about that shot is he had no release, like he couldn't follow through on the shot. So it was basically, I don't know how he got it off so fast, and the puck hit the back of the net before Dustin Wolf could even react. I mean, that's how fast it was. Yeah. Just unbelievable. And, you know, the sky was falling when Connor Bedard didn't get a point in against Toronto on Saturday, and then he follows that up with a new point streak, scoring 3 goals. Just incredible. And how about it to a game where he was wearing the A on his sweater for the first time in a regular season game for the Blackhawks with no Nick Foligno, no Jason Dickinson, Tyler Bertuzzi's out of the lineup. And I thought it was interesting, too, that they didn't give a third A. It was just Connor Murphy, and it was just Connor Bedard. So it was one of those things that when there was after that Adam Klapka hit on Connor Murphy, it was Bedard that went up and skated to the officials because he is essentially now one of the alternate captains. And so I thought it was just an amazing game for him, but also what an honor for him to wear that A, because soon enough it's going to be a C.
Yeah, you're kind of the spokesperson on the ice for the coaching staff and for your team, really, when it comes to the referee and an ambassador, if you will. And I can tell you, I wore an A with the New York Islanders for a year, and it means a lot. It means a lot that the coaching staff has that kind of faith in you. It also means that you've got to set an example out there, and he has set an example all year long. His will and his compete, and you know last year it was an off year for him, and I think he took it very personally, and he wanted to make sure that did not happen again. And he went out and he got stronger, he got faster, and we're seeing all the benefits right now. It's playing out live in your living room and here at the United Center, and when they're on the road, he is the real deal.
He's just a relentless pursuer of the puck, too. Mm-hmm. The Hawks were up by 2 goals, and he was chasing, trying to score the hat trick goal. There was a defenseman that went around his own net, and Connor was just on him like a mosquito. I mean, he just would not leave. And then Connor, of course, eventually gets it with an 156-foot shot from his own end that was tracking the entire way, as he joked with Darren Pang. But I mean, just you mentioned his compete and the way that he's relentlessly forechecking this year. It seems like that's a different story than what we saw the last couple of years, earning your offense
like a Rottweiler on a steak. That's
or
what
like John says, like a bad rash. You're on him in like a bad rash. Right, John?
Well, what I loved about, and if you get an opportunity to watch a highlight, if you roll back far enough, he lost the puck. He turned it over, but he was going to get it back. And that's something great players do, because hockey's a game of mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to lose the puck, but it's the guys with the second and third effort who get it back. And that's exactly what he did. He got it back, and the spinorama, 180-foot shot, sauced it all the way down the ice, and it went right in the middle of the net. That was a sweet empty net goal and another great hat trick by Connor Bedard. And let's see, if we go back now, so he went 9 games with 19 points, then he gets shut out by Toronto, so that's the 10th game, 19 points. 11 games, 22 points. So he's averaging 2 points a game over the last 11 games, and I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. Because, I mean, when teams come in to play Chicago or Chicago goes in to play them, you know the game plan is, okay, let's watch 98 and make sure we shut him down, and they haven't been able to do that.
And how about it, too, when, on that nine-game point streak, I think 10 or 11 assists Connor had during it, and all of them were primary assists. So it's just like, even when he's not scoring, he's setting up his teammates to score. It's been amazing to watch. And, Steve, a couple weeks ago, we know that the Team Canada conversation is starting with, does Bedard deserve to be on the team? What about Celebrini? All these young players. And a couple weeks ago, I thought it was Connor was going to have an outside chance to make it. Like, I still thought he had an uphill battle just because Team Canada is so loaded with forwards. But the more he can, when the body of work grows, I think the teams are due like end of December, early January. I mean, if he keeps playing like this and he's continues to stay among the top of the NHL leaderboard in points, it's going to be harder and harder to ignore if you're a Team Canada manager.
No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Unfortunately, and here's the thing, typically if they bring him on, he would probably be a third, maybe fourth line guy. And I don't know if you want him because he's not going to be getting a regular shift. He's, you know, typically third and fourth line guys kill penalties. He's not going to be a penalty killer. But that all being said, if he keeps producing like this, he's going to be a top six forward. Why wouldn't you have him in your top six forwards? You know, guys like, you know, Sam Bennett, who was on that Four Nations team, not really performing up to standards this year. So you bring in that speed, you bring in that skill. I think he's got a really good chance, and I'm glad I'm not picking the team.
Yeah, I agree, because if he is on the team, you're not going to slot him into a third or fourth line role, and he's not on the power play unit because Canada's loaded. That's not obviously his game. But how he could be playing his way onto Team Canada is maybe a guy that you penciled into your top six, whether it's a Braden Point or a Brad Marchand or, you know, whoever the case might be. Maybe you identify those players and say, you know what, we're going to drop them to the third line. They can play in the checking role, and Connor can be, you know, again, it still might be a long shot because I agree with you. It's Canada is just so loaded with forwards. But, man, it was a fun conversation for the first month of the season. But then when you stack a second month and maybe another month and a half when you get into January, I mean, how do you not at least strongly consider that he should be on the team in some way?
It's the consistency. And it's not just, okay, he had a hat trick against Ottawa. Oh, he had a big game against Calgary in Calgary, 4 points. He's doing it on a nightly basis. And like I said, other teams are looking out for him. He's still getting it done. You know, maybe they bring him on. And I think this is a you know, you go in with 14 forwards, bring him in as an extra forward and let him play his way into the lineup. And that could happen. Canada could have a bad game. There could be an injury. And then all of a sudden, you've got a guy, you know, it's over in Italy. You've got a guy there ready to go. I would, and Doug Armstrong, I believe, is the general manager. Am I mistaken or not? I think it's Doug Armstrong, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Doug Armstrong, who's the general manager of the St. Louis Blues. So.
And by the way, I think Boston Bruins GM Don Sweeney was in the house tonight. He's the assistant GM for Team Canada.
Oh.
So how about that?
Yeah, I wonder if Connor knew that.
Yeah.
I bet you he did know that. Yeah, good for you. Good reconnaissance, Charlie. I'm glad you're on our team.
Last one for you, Steve. It sounds silly, but the Hawks are in a playoff spot, and they've been sitting there for the last several weeks here. American Thanksgiving is approaching. That's typically the barometer. It's like if you're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, 75-80% chance that you're going to go on to make the playoffs. I don't think any of us expected playoffs in Chicago, and so it even sounds silly to suggest. Is it realistic to be thinking about the playoffs? But the larger the sample size, the more you wonder, are the playoffs a possibility? And here's what I will say, Steve. I feel like if there is a path to the playoffs for the Blackhawks, there are some top-heavy teams in the Western Conference like Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. You know, they're all going to get in. But like in the middle range, Seattle, Utah, Minnesota, Vancouver, St. Louis. St. Louis is towards the bottom of the Western Conference. I mean, there's a path forward for the Hawks to be a real surprise team, but it's just thinking about how the Hawks finished last year in the 61 points, I think. For them to make a 30-point leap, I think would be a historically great season for the Blackhawks as far as year to year.
Well, you know what? Right now they're tied with the Winnipeg Jets in the Central for that third playoff spot, you know, the top three from each division make it, right? So they would be tied for the Winnipeg Jets. Unfortunately, they have a couple fewer wins, regulation wins. Where they are going to really, I think, separate themselves is you've got that mushy middle and Utah and Minnesota and even the Edmonton Oilers right now. They played more games. Minnesota and Edmonton have played more games than the Chicago Blackhawks. Utah has played an extra game for the Chicago Blackhawks. They're 2 points ahead of all those teams I just mentioned. So, you know, you got it. You can't get too far ahead of yourself. And I think Jeff Blashill is probably driving that point home. It's like, you know, go out and don't think about winning the game. Go out and think about winning your next shift. And you got to break it down that way. And because if you don't, you can really get lost. And right now, they're not lost. They're not only finding ways to win, they're for real. I love the way they're playing in their own zone. You know, the goaltending has been spectacular. Their special teams are really good. And when they need a goal, you know, how about the play of a guy like Oliver Moore tonight? You know, end-to-end rush, literally, and it goes in. And then even a guy, Ryan Green, I love watching him play because he's so smart on the ice. And he's always making the right plays. So, you know, these are names that you might not know right now, but I think by the end of the year you'll be like, boy, these guys are turning into stars.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple years the Hawks' lulls were like 6, 7, 8 game losing streaks, but this year the biggest lull the Blackhawks have had was the opening road trip, which is 0-2-1. So even if water does find its level at some point, it feels like a losing streak for the Hawks this year will be 0-2-1, like a little three gamer, and then they'll bounce back. Like it feels like the body of work is large enough now where we feel comfortable where the Hawks aren't going to have those significant lulls this year.
When I played under Mike Keenan, legendary coach here with the Blackhawks through the late 80s, early 90s, he'd break it into five-game segments, and he always wanted 3 wins every 5 games. And he said you can be, you know, 3-0-2, 3-1-1, whatever, but he wanted 3 wins in those 5 games. And that's what they're doing right now. They're well over 600, right? Are they six?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, 6:30.
And John Weideman just passed along. They're plus 15 now, which is second best goal differential in the Western Conference, trailing only the Colorado Avalanche. So I think
Colorado's going to be here on Sunday. That'll be fun to watch.
Oh yeah, that'll be a great litmus test for the Blackhawks because they are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And, you know, the Blackhawks have played a couple teams like that already this year, but they are right now firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, that'll be a fun one to watch.
All right, Steve, great stuff as always. We will see you on Thursday against Seattle, correct?
Yes, I'll be here, Charlie. Looking forward to with that one.
All right, beautiful. The Blackhawks take down the Calgary Flames 5-2 behind a Connor Bedard hat-trick. We'll take a quick break, and then the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Bedard picks Huberdeau's pocket, got some room, fires toward the empty net, he scored! Hat-trick for Connor Bedard, the second of his career! And that'll put this game away, an empty net goal makes it 5-2 in favor of the Hawks!
Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. A hattie for Connor Bedard, the second of his career, second of the season as well. 3 goals. He also had 6 shots on goal, which led all skaters. And how about this as well? He won 9 of 12 faceoffs for a 75% win percentage. That is a huge step for Connor Bedard, especially with Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson out of the lineup. Last thing to put a bow on Connor, something that I've noticed about him this season too, we've talked about the off-season training and how much faster he looks, but I've noticed Bedard has been going to his backhand a lot more this season than I saw in the first couple years, where he would always go backhand and then flip it to his put it to his forehand and try to get a quick snapshot off. But this year, he has been going to his backhand a lot more, and that is something that I think is going to keep goaltenders honest. And so that's probably just another thing that Connor really quietly worked on in the offseason, is getting more comfortable using his backhand to make sure that he's keeping goaltenders honest. More to get to here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show coming up on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, the Hawks take down the Calgary Flames 5-2 behind a Connor Bedard hat-trick. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. three players logged north of 20 minutes of ice time for the Blackhawks tonight, and it was Alex Vlasic leading the way among Chicago skaters at 22:41. Teuvo Teravainen was right behind him at 20:37. Frank Nazar, 20:24, and then Connor Bedard snuck in above that with 20:01. So four players that logged 20 minutes or more of ice time. Feels like the Hawks have been evenly distributing some of these the minutes lately, which has been nice. Sam Rinzell, by the way, drew back into the lineup after he was a healthy scratch in the last game. He logged 14 minutes and 16 seconds of ice time. Also added an assist, and he was a plus two in this game. Had a few giveaways in this game, but also had four shot attempts. So I thought Rinzell was noticeable. I think it's going to be a little bit of a slow growing process as he reinserts himself and grows his confidence after the healthy scratch. But I have no concern about Rinzell. It feels like he is a guy that his confidence stays pretty even keel. So I expect him to continue to bounce back in a similar way that Artem Levchinov did when he was a healthy scratch in the home opener. One more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. I feel like we've provided an update on this prospect several times this season, but for good reason. Roman Kantsarov, second-round pick by the Blackhawks in 2023, scored yet another goal today in the KHL, and it was a beauty. If you didn't see the highlight, go check it out on social media. He's now up to 31 points on the season in 28 games, so he's averaging more than a point per game. 18 goals, 13 assists. His 18 goals leads all KHL players, and he's now on pace for 76 points in 68 games with 44 goals and 32 assists as the pace. Just for context, last year he had 38 points. So he's on a 38-point improvement pace right now, the way that he's going. So a really nice outing by Kantsarov today earlier and just all season. He's someone to watch as he prepares to come to North America, believed to be at the end of this season. Time now for the next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Blackhawks will be back in action on Thursday here at the United Center. It'll wrap up a four-game homestand. Then the Hawks are going to make a quick trip out to Buffalo on Friday before they have another string of home games here. Seattle was going for their third win in a row tonight in Detroit, but they lost 4-2. And so Seattle is a team that they've been going, they're kind of up and down. Their longest winning streak of the season this year is two games, which they've done three times. They've never won more than two this season. They are currently on a four-game road trip. Detroit was the start of it, and so Seattle's going to roll through here at the United Center on Thursday, and the Blackhawks will be looking for some revenge after the Kraken handed the Blackhawks a 3-1 loss in Seattle on November 3rd. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Eli Burke flying solo today. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and our captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-2 Blackhawks win over the Calgary Flames behind a Connor Bedard hat trick. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night from the UC.